We have a live today debate analysing what's at stake both for the US and the wider world in this year's American presidential election. We'll be joining Michelle Hussein with a panel of guests and a live audience for that at 8 o'clock. Next, though, it's comedy from Rhys James in just a moment.
Desert Island Discs on BBC Radio 4.
Sometimes it's the unexpected stuff that gets captured. Almost always ends up being the stuff that you see in the movie trailers because it's one of the best jokes.
With new castaways, including Rebel Wilson, Rob Delaney, and the novelist David Nichols.
I think it's very hard to write about happiness and contentment.
Plus, the boxer Anthony Joshua shares the music that inspired his journey all the way to the top.
It's hard because I'm trying to be a professional boxer and be the best I can be, but yet I'm still trying to be the same guy that grew up with all my friends and stuff.
Desert Island Discs with me, Lauren Laverne. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now, for the final time this series on Radio 4, Rhys James is back with research.
Many people have big life questions.
Am I on the right path? How do you make tough decisions? Have you been to Nando's before?
But the only way to find the answers is by speaking to the experts or reading the information. No one has time for that. My name is Rhys James, and I'm not an expert, but my diary is empty. I'll ask the questions you don't think to. I'll get the answers you didn't know you wanted.
Robots don't pay taxes.
I'll do the research. As in, research. My name is Rhys. It works written down.
You're through to research. Please leave your name and question, and I'll have an answer for you within one calendar week. Beep.
Yeah, so I'm at that age where lots of my friends are having babies and starting a new chapter, and I'm just not sure that I'm ready to have a baby. But I read this thing about the population, how it's, like, collapsing or something, because too many people aren't having them. So I guess, like, do I have to now? Are there enough babies?
Birds do it. Bees do it. Even educated Swedes do it. Let's do it. Let's reproduce. Birth. The miracle of life. Ever since humanity was first born, it's been hell-bent on giving birth to more and more of itself until there's so much humanity we have to pluralize it to humanities and teach it in schools. But who are we teaching it to? That's right, children. Where once people had children to breed workers to tend their own arable farmland, these days couples have kids as more of a conversation starter, or to give them something to post on their Instagram stories with an emoji over its face. But is the act of having children a thing of the past? And if so, why are there so many podcasts about it? Up until recently, it seemed the main concern was overpopulation, but now scientists are telling us we risk underpopulation instead, and that they've not been dead wrong all these years, it's just that things have changed actually, and to leave them alone. So what does a fading population mean for the world? And does it explain the dwindling numbers of some radio shows? If no one's having children, could humanity soon cease to exist? And would doctors' waiting rooms get rid of those weird old toys where you move coloured blocks along a metal squiggle? To find out, I spoke to data scientist and demographer Stephen J. Shaw, who directed, produced, wrote and presented Birth Gap, the most successful film about birth since Boss Baby 2. Stephen J., hi. Now, tell me, and be honest, where do babies come from?
People.
People, correct. 1-0 to you. And where do people come from?
From Germany, from Italy, Hungary, Scandinavia, Korea, Japan, Africa, in the UK and elsewhere. And
this is going to take ages. So what's all this chat about there not being enough people? I mean, have you been to Westfield? It's packed.
I've been to Westfield multiple times, and I've been to malls and trains here in Japan where I live. Certain places are packed. That's right.
Well then, that's one all. So how can you say there's not enough people then?
It's so confusing, isn't it? And this is why we've all really missed the reality of what's been happening around this for decades. We keep looking at the total headcount. Like, that matters. If you look at births...
Look at births.
That's the real measure.
Are you allowed to do that?
The number of births on the planet has been falling for around 10 years and continues to fall year by year by year by year.
So if births are decreasing, why is the total headcount increasing?
Why is the total headcount increasing?
Well, I don't know. That's why I asked you. You're the expert. Is it clones or twins? Don't say triplets.
People are living longer than they would have done before, particularly in places like India, parts of Africa, and that's a good thing. But that doesn't tell us the real trend, which is that 75% of people on this planet who are living in a country below that replacement level, below an average of 2 children per woman.
Well, this sounds pretty serious, Stephen. Are we doomed?
We are. I think if we were any other species, we would, by definition, be classified as an endangered species.
Oh, good God. So why are birth rates so low then, Stephen? Is it because of online?
Well, people in Japan were saying it's work-life balance, but you go to Italy and they didn't have a work-life balance problem. problem there so much. So it was blamed there on youth unemployment. Then you go to Germany and they have free education, good work-life balance and everything else. All of these countries had the exact same issue. It turned out the common reason is actually quite simple. Mothers are generally having the same number of children.
So what's changed?
So what's changed? There has been an explosion in childlessness in every one of these places.
Ah, so it's not that people are having fewer children. It's that fewer people are having children. So it's the mum's fault or the non-mum's fault?
Yes.
So why is that then? Why are there so few mums about these days?
It simply seems to be that people delay parenthood during times of economic shock, economic crisis, and that becomes a new norm to start families later and later. But the probability of having a child later in life, well, goes down and down and down and down and down.
So we've heard of unwanted pregnancies. I mean, I've certainly been called an accident in my time. But are you saying there are some people who are now accidentally not getting pregnant?
I call it unplanned childlessness. Yes, absolutely. And there's a vast number of people in this category.
How many children do you have, Stephen Jay?
I have three.
Do you not feel the burden that you should really have 10 if you're going to save the planet?
No, I think I've allocated my three for the future of humanity, and that there's not going to be any more.
Right, so you're one of those people. You won't have more kids to save the planet, but you will have enough kids to make Westfield unbearably busy for the rest of us.
Even if the world's population were to go down by half, I bet you Westfield would still be packed on a Saturday afternoon. That won't change.
Okay, Stephen Jay, I think you need a timeout. You may have heard Stephen refer to something called the replacement level, which currently sits at 2.1. This is the amount of children needed per mother to maintain the population level from generation to generation, so that even when the older ones depart, the number of people stays the same, a bit like the substitutions of a football team or the sugar babes. But if there's fewer women becoming mothers, what does this mean for the future of society, or Gale's Bakery? Would a smaller population be so bad, or do the positives and negatives even themselves out? Yes, we'd have fewer doctors, but there'd also be fewer people who need treatment. Yes, we'd have fewer engineers, but there'd be fewer people having issues with their Sky TV. Yes, we'd have fewer council workers, but they don't do anything anyway. And what about on the other side? Some say a smaller population would be good for the climate crisis, but there'd also be fewer people to join Just Stop Oil to protest the climate crisis. So do we need to worry ourselves, or are we looking at a future where everything is basically the same, but with a bit more space on the street to hold an umbrella or skateboard? Right, Stephen, have you calmed down?
Yeah, that...
Now, tell me, is this such a big deal, or will people start having more kids once the economy bounces back?
So, populations increase exponentially, and they decay exponentially.
Yeah, and to explain that?
To explain that, as there are fewer children, by definition, 20, 30 years later, there are fewer potential parents to have fewer potential children.
Which means?
It means as there are fewer potential parents to again have fewer potential children.
Then there's fewer children to grow up to be potential parents.
To again have fewer potential children.
And again, that means there's...
increasing numbers of future parents.
And would that mean there's fewer potential children after that?
Yes.
And what about after that?
Of course.
So this is a tailspin.
So this is a tailspin.
Decreasing exponentially?
Decreasing exponentially.
Wow, so effectively, we're in a tailspin.
Effectively, we're in a tailspin.
Well, seems I've got an echo. Are we in a cave?
No, we're in a tailspin.
So what effect would all this have?
I think this population start to age, and there's more older people compared to the younger people. So it would mean young people paying both for the older people that we have today and for their own pensions.
What have pensions got to do with young people? Isn't that more of a sort of nana's thing?
Pensions are paid by current workers through taxes that they pay into.
Sorry, so you just want more babies so you can have more workers to pay for pensions?
So
why don't we just change the pension system then, rather than trying to fix everything with sperm?
In many ways, you're right. The pension system needs to be reformed. It was an attractive system.
Oh, gorgeous system.
When people didn't live all that long and there weren't that many retirees compared to workers.
Stunning little system, to be fair to it.
That whole dynamic is changing. People are living longer. Healthcare is actually more expensive. And there's more older people compared to the younger people. So
yeah, it sounds to me, Stephen Jay, like the problem isn't that there's not enough babies, but that there's too many old people.
I think
should we just get rid of old people somehow? You know, maybe encourage them to do sort of elderly skydives and geriatric speed racing for a laugh.
No.
Kill them off in style.
I don't think it's for anyone to say, because I'm sure many listeners are looking forward to these golden years, and I'm a big supporter of that.
Yeah, how old are you again, Stephen?
Well, I'm my later 50s right now.
Yeah, so you would say that.
But I just don't think the focus should be on older people.
What a surprise.
As part of this headcount question. It's clearly not.
Yeah, agreed. And just to put the focus on old people as part of this headcount question again, could old people at least keep working a bit later in life?
The reality is, I think the idea of stopping work in your 60s, 70s, it might be important to people already on that timeline. But for younger people, That's not going to work out.
Stephen, do I hear a smile in your voice? So what's this going to do for the workforce then? Is this going to lead to old people doing jobs like nightclub bouncer and personal trainer?
I do worry.
Maybe elderly child actors, you know, granddads playing kids in films, like when men would play female characters in Shakespeare stuff.
Are
we going to see that?
I liked it up until the child actors. The idea of retiring at anything like the ages we do today is really already outdated and going to become a myth very quickly.
What about robots? I keep seeing all this promise of AI and robots coming along, so can't they replace the workforce instead of babies?
Well, robots don't pay taxes.
Yeah, crucially, Stephen, they don't pay taxes because you don't have to pay them a salary, so you're saving money there instead.
Robots are part of a solution here. I think they have a role. But the idea that robotics are going to somehow magically cure societies in a way that we don't have to worry about the change that's unfolding is wrong.
So you're saying that there's not a world in which if our taxes can't pay for things like public services, you know, firemen and police, that we could end up seeing sort of robot firemen and stuff like that? Because, you know, a lot of young people say they want to defund the police. So is not having kids just a sort of subtle long game way to defund the police?
I'm quite sure firemen will be assisted, maybe in some ways taken over in future by robots doing those most dangerous jobs. I think that's absolutely right. But again, I think we'd be short-sighted to say that that in some way is a pure solution.
Yeah, but it could solve issues of things like carers, you know, specifically for our elderly, if we just have robots doing it.
You know, part of the issue here is, if I can, just to broaden it. I don't want to live in a world where when people get old, that they're left in their latter years to talk to a robot. I think that would be a really sad society to be part of.
Yeah, thanks for broadening it. Just to narrow it again quickly, do you think it's possible we'll eventually live in a world full of RoboCops?
No. I think that's a very silly idea. Could we, perhaps? But the problem here is a fundamental mathematical one. Unless people are having an average of 2 children, we're fading out. This is exactly how civilizations end. So unless we're going to hand over the keys to the RoboCops to take over the planet and manage it after we're gone, that's not a very good future vision, I think, that we're going to look for.
I see what you're saying. And do you think RoboCops would have guns they carry, or would they just have guns built into their bodies, like the boobs in Austin Powers?
I wouldn't want to talk about this, to be honest with you. But...
Right, well, that's half of these questions out the window then. Talk amongst yourself.
So I do worry that...
Listen to me say this. Stephen had raised concerns about a future lack of workers if birth rates continue to decline. But was that a good enough reason to have a child, just to create an employee? There had to be another way. Do we really want to live in a world in which we only care about the economy and greeting cards switch from congratulations on your new baby to thank you for your service to the pension industry? Or could our economy survive without babies? South Korea has the lowest birth rate in the world, but instead props up its workforce with migrant workers. In fact, according to economists, some of which are over 6 foot and wear glasses, immigration has proven to be a short-term solution to this issue that I'm talking about at the moment and have been all episode. But still, people complain about immigrants. So do we need a perspective shift from coming over here stealing our jobs to coming over here saving our granddads? Or is this just a short-term solution, and eventually low birth rates will mean we run out of immigrants as well, and we have no choice but to rely on robot immigrants?
Paula climbed up a mountain,
Stephen,
to meet a family with six children.
Yeah, Stephen.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
So is there anything to try and incentivize having kids? I mean, if people don't have them because of economic reasons, why don't we just pay them to have a baby?
It's incredible how many incentives over recent decades from Scandinavia, Korea, Japan. There's multiple examples of incentives to pay people money to have children. And guess what?
They work?
They don't work.
Damn it.
The biggest reason
people
are not having children is once they get into their 30s.
It was 50-50.
Is either not having a partner, going through a breakup or divorce, or their partner's not on the same page at that same moment in time. So simply paying people to have children will not suddenly solve that relationship issue. I mean, birth rates have been collapsing for so many decades across so many countries with no known solution.
Yeah, well, you haven't heard my solutions yet, Stephen Jay. Would you like to?
Sure.
So, instead of incentives, what if we just subtly make the nation horny?
I think that's...
Listen, we pump out Barry White music everywhere, we make alcohol cheaper, we have a big national statue of a bum, something for everyone, the universal sex organ, no matter what your sexuality is, and then people wouldn't even realize what they're doing. They'd be getting carried away with the heat of the moment, and it will lead to unwanted pregnancy, but then people think they're just going to keep it, and we've solved everything. We've saved the world with boners.
Some people would say we've already been trying that in recent decades across much of the world. You know, look at the uptake in plastic surgery, etc. These kind of things simply don't move the needle at all.
Well, not if you're going to use that word to describe it. Okay, how about this? Lots of people find children annoying, and seeing them in public puts them off having them. So we ban kids from public spaces for a few years, or we punish misbehaving kids so they're encouraged to be angels and families become walking adverts for themselves.
I know in Japan, the opposite has worked, where when young people are invited to actually nursery to spend time with young children, young babies, there has been an increase in birth rates. So I think excluding children from society is the last thing we want to do.
Sorry, in Japan, they're just randomly inviting you to nurseries?
No, it's a parent scheme where young college students can sign up and say, we want to go and spend a day with parents.
Young parents?
Young parents. And they go along and they kind of spend a day, take the child to the nursery.
The young child?
Take the young child to the nursery. To balance the challenges of life. And, you know, in my documentary, I interview a young woman who decided absolutely she didn't want children after 4 days with parents.
Local parents?
Local parents. She decided absolutely she wanted to become a mother.
Wow, she wanted to become a young local mother. And is that because she looked at it and thought, well, I can do better than that?
I would like to think not, but of course I can't speak for
her.
Or
is this the drug dealer approach? You know, drug dealers often give away the first hit for free, don't they, to get you addicted. Is that what's happening with babies in Japan? A quick free sample, sniff of the head, suddenly you're hooked.
There are psychologists who say that actually there's a trigger for people, that once you get close to someone with a child and you experience those feelings, that it can be passed on in some way. So it's like this instinct to have children doesn't get turned on until we're closer to younger children.
Younger babies?
Younger babies.
Ah, so you're saying an exposure to kids can save the world. So if we just send people off to stare at children, you know, maybe a viewing gallery at Soft Play, that could save everything.
No, I think...
Maybe babysitters should be paying the parents for the opportunity. I mean, that would also solve the issue of childcare costs. So, you know, is that something?
Maybe that is something.
It was clear that government incentives to have children weren't working. Having a child is a forever decision, like getting tattooed or circumcised. So perhaps financial incentives weren't enough, and what people really needed were reasons. There are a number of oft-peddled reasons to have kids, such as love and meaning and stand-up comedy material. But what about the reasons people don't talk about? That's right, the real benefits. These are my top child benefits. Number one. Learn new skills. Having children teaches you all sorts of new life skills you never knew you needed and simply couldn't learn any other way, like doing up zips from the wrong side while crouching, or pressing next episode on an iPad that's behind you while driving. Number two, self-esteem. Having a child is clinically proven to make you more confident on account of the fact children are tiny and incapable, so extremely easy to beat at things like Monopoly or penalties. Number four, expand your shopping options. Until you have a child, it's virtually impossible to buy Munch Bunch and Lunchables without looking weird. And why not treat yourself while you're at it? Get one of those magazines you always wanted with a toy sellotaped to the front. Number eight, bad communicator, scared of confrontation? Subtly feed the information about your mum wearing too much perfume to your toddler and have them blurt it out for you, like a little verbal hitman. And number five, there really is no better solution if you're into collecting teeth. War. Huh. Stephen J. Shaw, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Baby booms, that's correct. The previous baby boom came post-war, didn't it? Some say from soldiers coming back all horny from victory and impregnating the locals. So do we just need another war with full conscription in order to, well, long-term, save lives?
I see. Well, I do get the logic that when you have periods of time when people, you know, men and women are away from each other and having children and families is... challenging, that what tends to happen after that is indeed people start to come together.
So a war would be a good idea?
I'm not calling for wars. Of course, that would be a terrible, terrible, terrible reason to try and increase births.
Come on, not even a little war, little tiny war?
I think even a little war would be a tragic reason for anyone to increase birth rates.
Yeah, once again, Stephen, why are you smiling so much?
But it is true. I think what I've seen happening when people are made aware of this, particularly younger people, and they realize there's a risk that, wait a minute, I might end up childless, even though I'm doing what society tells me, that they're going to do something differently simply because they're aware that actually they do want a family. So maybe that can generate at least a mini baby boom.
Well, another way to get a mini baby boom is we've all heard of the one-child policy to limit population. How about the at least one-child policy? Listen, in China, they achieve theirs with fines and a general threatening aura. So why don't we do fines for people who don't have children and get mums of my generation to berate us about giving them grandkids? Would that work?
Well, that's what the Romans tried.
Exactly. Do as the Romans do.
But they faded out, and that was after trying to put policies in place to punish those who didn't have children, tax those who had only one, and take their pensions away, and it didn't work.
Fine. How about this then? Condom packets. You present condom packets like cigarette packets with their warning photos of what will happen to you if you use them, but instead of black lungs, on a condom packet, you just see a photo of you as an old man surrounded by no loved ones reading a birthday card with suspiciously similar handwriting to your own. And that tells you, if you don't have kids, this is your future.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a minute to think about that one because...
You want to like it, Stephen. I can see that you want to like it. But okay, you've got exactly 1 minute. So then, while Stephen thinks about my condoms idea, perhaps you want to use this minute yourself to have a think. You know, think whether you do want kids or not. And if you already have kids, then maybe have a think whether they should have kids when they get older to save civilization. Or if you now think it might be too big a risk, now you know what the future might actually be like from Stephen. Just use this minute wisely, is all I'd say. You only get one, so don't waste it. And before you know it, this minute will be over. And you'll be looking back on the start of it thinking, well, I wish I'd done something more meaningful with that first 15 seconds. Right, Stephen, that's your time.
I...
Shit, that's hot. My God. What do you reckon then, Stephen? To the condom idea. Do you like it?
No, absolutely not. I think it's the worst idea I've heard so far.
Oh, that was a waste of time.
That's so far off the charts. I hadn't even, you know, remotely thought that anyone could come up with such a scheme.
Yeah, well, you're not talking to just anyone, Stephen J.
That's something we can be very sure of.
Are we forcing this issue, do you think? Should we just let 30-year-olds who don't want kids not have them and get on with their rock climbing or whatever?
No, the reality is that from detailed studies, we're seeing that between 90 and 95% of women during their fertile years either have a child or want children. And, you know, if anything, our economies are making that difficult because we make it difficult for women to break that career.
So if women are pursuing career goals until much later in life instead of having kids, has feminism gone too far? And we just need to reduce the opportunities for young women so that it isn't an option for them.
I'm all for equal opportunity. But the reality is we have told younger people how to avoid pregnancies, but we haven't educated them in terms of what that fertility window is. And this affects men and women, by the way, because men, okay, technically they can have a child later in life, but they have to find someone who wants to have a child with them when they're older.
Well, yeah, and there's not many opportunities for women beyond a certain age, are there? You know, women over 45 often say they feel invisible, and it's misogynistic. It's due to men trying to control them.
That's not a good...
So do we need to ban women from work? At least until they're 45, and then they can get on with sorting out the kids.
Well, this touches on something that I think could be a solution, which is I think we should enable younger people to have families earlier and then start a career path at age 30, 35, men and women. The smartest employers will be the one who said, you know, we've got an intake at age 30.
Or 31.
Or 32.
Or 33.
Or 35.
Oh, what's wrong with 34-year-olds?
Because the one thing I know that particularly mothers are good at is time management.
They are very organized and they always have tissues and raisins.
You know, I do think we need to re-sequence our lives in many ways in terms of what becomes the norm. Re-sequence our lives
in many ways. Stephen said the sequence of our lives needed a rethink, and I was inclined to agree, mainly because I'm months away from turning 34, the most unemployable age there is. It just didn't feel possible to me that everyone would have this figured out in their early 20s. Was everyone really delaying parenthood purely for career reasons and living to regret it? Or do some people just take a bit longer to decide what they want in life? From a personal perspective, I find you get a lot of the good of parenthood without much of the bad by simply being an uncle. So perhaps instead of children, we should just be encouraging people to have nieces and nephews. Either way, encouraging people to have children seemed to be a dead end. Financial incentives had failed the world over, as had punishments and threats. Even great suggestions from original thinkers were being dismissed out of hand. So maybe that tells us all we need to know. Human beings can't just be manipulated to do and say whatever we want them to. And it's not until we stop trying to fix everything else that we can start to fix ourselves. Superb stuff. Tremendous. So, Stephen, it seems we're staring down the barrel of a future world full of pensioners struggling to make ends meet. But is that such a bad thing? May I remind you of one plucky pensioner who saw the nation in trouble and decided to raise his own money by walking around his garden over and over again until he was on the news. So if we had millions of old folks doing the very same thing, could we Captain Tom our way out of this crisis?
Maybe there is something in your idea.
They all walk around their gardens. They pay their pensions that way. The whole situation Captain Tom's itself.
Well, I will maybe talk to some Japanese older people here about seeing if they can become the Japanese, you know, Captain... Yeah, Taki-san or something.
Yeah, you could do it in every country, couldn't you? You know, in Italy, you'd have Captain Mario, and in Germany, Captain Klaus, and in Hungary, you'd have, you know,
yeah,
one of their names.
There you go.
There you go. But I do just have to ask, Stephen Jay, could you argue this whole thing of a declining population is actually a good thing for animals and the environment as a whole? I mean, doesn't this problem solve that one?
Look, you know... Some people want to see humanity become extinct. Some people say that openly. Other people wouldn't mind if we did. I think the animals will do just fine with us here, and they'll do just fine without us here. I think this is down to whether we value humanity or not. And I think if we look at what we've achieved, here's one more thought for you. There's going to be another big, 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 big meteorite.
There's going to be a what?
Well, it's statistically inevitable.
Well, then why have we been worrying about pensions? If we're going to get smashed to bits.
Well, the point is humanity will save us. Animals won't when it comes to hopefully taking out that next meteorite.
I see what you're saying. We'd need scientists. And there's not a single monkey scientist I would trust, as far as I can throw him.
Of course, I wouldn't either.
Stephen Jay Shaw, one final question. What does the J stand for?
Japan.
Crikey. I had learned a lot from Stephen Japan Shaw, but speaking to him had left me with a deep sense of worry for the future. A potentially dystopian future, in which robots look after our elderly play children in films, and our few remaining children get pulverized by a big rock from space. Stephen said only babies could save us, but is that a good enough reason to have one, or three? And is it worth sacrificing everything you've worked for to do it? In the past, it seemed the decision to have a child or not could simply make or break your own life. Now it seems it would make or break everyone else's lives too. It struck me that sometimes, the more information you have, the less sure you become. Or maybe you were never sure to begin with, and you've always been racked with uncertainty. But you bury yourself so much in your work, the only way you could confront any of your own life questions was to make it your job and pretend someone else was asking them.
Yeah, so I'm at that age where lots of my friends are having babies and starting a new chapter, and I'm just not sure that I'm ready to
have a baby. But I read this thing about the population, how it's like collapsing or something because too many people aren't having them. So I guess like, do I have to now? Are there enough babies?
Even films are like boring to me now. So what's going on there then? Like, why can't I concentrate?
Are you meant to get married or is monogamy
like kind of outdated?
But is it weird then?
Or is it okay to be proud of your country?
Do we need it? You know, it's all a waste of time.
Was it all pointless? You had to hide behind a sort of verbal mask or silly voice, so the answers couldn't hurt you. But is that such a bad thing? What would we be without curiosity? What would we be without wonder? What would we be without many people having big life questions? Many people have big life questions. Are billionaires evil? Will we live on Mars? Are we being watched? Why can't I concentrate? Is monogamy outdated? Can you be proud of your country? Do we need school? Are there enough babies? But the only way to find the answers is by speaking to the experts or reading the information. No one has time for this. My name is Rhys James, and I'm not an expert, but my diary is empty. I'll ask the questions you don't think to. I'll get the answers I didn't know I wanted. The less sure you become, racked with uncertainty, you were never sure to begin with. I'll do the research. As in, research. My name is Rhys. It works written down.
You're through to research. Please leave your name and question, and I'll have an answer for you within one calendar week. Beep.
Hello. Yeah, so, well, a few things, I guess.
Research starred Rhys James with Stephen Jay Shaw. It was produced by Carl Cooper and Pete Strauss and was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. After the news, it's The Archers, where Alistair faces humiliation and Lily keeps something on the down low.
Nature Bang on BBC Radio 4.
I've never seen so many mosquitoes in my life. I got absolutely eaten alive.
Venturing deep into the natural world.
To learn more about being human.
We assume that in the behaviours that we adopt, that we are making conscious volition, but is that just sophisticated instinct?
Cuttlefish raising questions about free will and learning about trade from fungi and plants.
There's something to be learned from symbiotic relationships in order to better understand the economy as well as other human interactions.
I'm Becky Ripley.
And I'm Emily Knight. Join us for the new series of Nature Bang on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Next Monday to Friday.